Heavenly Father, we give this time to you now. I pray that you would use it for our benefit, dear Lord, to teach us and instruct us from the Word of God, to allow us, dear Lord, to grow, to be better Christians, to be better servants, to be better witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. We're in John this morning, beginning in John chapter number 14. And we'll begin just a moment in verse 15, John 14, 15, as we are studying the Holy Spirit this quarter and looking. Last week we saw the Holy Spirit is God. There is no doubt we can look throughout the Scriptures as we did last week and see that the Holy Spirit of God is God. He is the co-equal, coexistent God. Just as Jesus Christ is God, God the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Today, as we continue this study, we see also that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person, and we can prove that from the Scriptures that He is a person. And one of the best places to go is John chapter 14 and look at the words of Christ. And He says in John 14 and verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Look down at verse 25. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." We see in these verses that Jesus Christ Himself is speaking that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a He, a pronoun, a masculine pronoun that is attributed to the Holy Spirit of God. It is a person. Look again at verse 16. "I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He," not it, "He may abide with you forever." Look at verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." It's a He, it's a Him, it is a masculine, it is a person, not an it, not a force. We go to verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." It is impossible to understand the Word of God without understanding the Holy Spirit of God. Without accepting who the Holy Spirit of God is. It is impossible to understand how to live the Christian life without accepting who the Holy Spirit is. It's impossible to understand the structure of our church or the relationship we ourselves have with God without understanding who the Holy Spirit of God is. The Holy Spirit is not an it. We can show that from these Scriptures that we have just read. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible says that He is not something. The Bible says that He is someone. And we saw last week He is God. This week we see He is a person. To understand this better, you have to think about a word that's not mentioned one time in the Scriptures, but it is the truth. It is the Trinity. We have one God. We as Christians do not serve multiple gods. Our churches today, across the world today, will be flooded with people that don't come to church maybe Christmas and Easter. But as they're in these services today, may the Holy Spirit of God speak to their hearts and show them the truth. To understand better about who our God is, we must first understand our God is one God, but three persons of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We do not worship three gods. We worship one God. And we've seen that in this study and other studies. But importantly, as we look at this study and the Holy Spirit, as He's co-equal, co-existent with God the Father and God the Son, He is the one that lives with inside of us if we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. He is the one that is directing us and guiding us. He is the one that is teaching us. He is the one that is illuminating the Scriptures for us. He is the one that is comforting us. The Holy Spirit now dwells with inside you as a believer and helps us to grow closer to God. The moment, the very moment that we accept Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. And He says He will never leave us. Never leave us. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is all-powerful, and we saw that last week. He is all-present everywhere. He is present amongst us today. The Holy Spirit teaches us and takes us deeper into the things of God and the truths of God as we step through this Christian life, if we so desire it. There is not a person anywhere, I don't care where we go in this world today, there is not a person anywhere in this world today that can be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit's the one that draws us to the Lamb of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us of our sin. The Holy Spirit is the one that shows us our need of a Savior. Before we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were in our sin and we were fine. We were happy. We were satisfied until the Holy Spirit began to work in our hearts. There is not a person who can follow Christ without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sees everything that goes on. There is nothing hidden, for He is, as we saw last week, God. He knows what goes on in our individual hearts. If you're a Christian today and the Holy Spirit resides within you, He came in at that day of salvation, He knows everything that goes on in your heart. He knows everything that goes on in your mind. He knows everything that comes out of your mouth. Everything that you take in through the ears or through the eyes. Every place that your feet take you, everything you do with your hands, the Holy Spirit knows all. He is God. Nothing is hidden from Him. So why is it important to know that the Holy Spirit is a person, not just part of the Godhead? Why is it important for us today to know that the Holy Spirit is a person? Well, one of the probably the most important thing is that if we understand who the Holy Spirit is, and not that it is a force or an it, but He is a person, He is an He. If we understand that, but we don't practice that, then we are robbing part of the Godhead of worship. Doesn't God deserve worship? And if God is one God, not three gods, but one God, does not the Holy Spirit as God deserve worship? He does. R.A. Torrey, preacher of years gone by, said, if the Holy Spirit is a person and a divine person, and He is, and if you or I do not know Him as such, if we think of the Holy Spirit as merely an impersonable force or power, then we are robbing a divine person of the worship that is His due, of the love that is His due, of the faith and confidence and surrender and obedience that is His due. R.A. Torrey said that. I agree with Brother Torrey on that, as he shows us that the Holy Spirit deserves our love, our confidence, our obedience, but He deserves our worship as God. Secondly, it is the highest importance for a practical standpoint that we know the Holy Spirit as a person. If you think of the Holy Spirit, as many Christians in our world today do, as some just mere power, some figure, then you will think, as many do, that how can I get a hold of the Holy Spirit and use it? like that can on a shelf somewhere in your house and it's labeled Holy Spirit. How in these trying times I need to go to that can and get the Holy Spirit and use it for this instance. I got a situation at work or a job promotion or I've got an exam coming up or I've got a stressful medical test coming up. And I need the Holy Spirit, so I'm going to go and get the Holy Spirit and I'm going to use Him. I need Him for those instances. If we think of the Holy Spirit as a power, then He's on the shelf somewhere. When we need Him, we go get Him. What that does is lead to self-confidence, leads to self-exaltation. It leads to all of us and not of the Holy Spirit. It's all of God. It's not of us, it's all of us, not of God. We rely on that shelf where we can go and grab the Holy Spirit and get more of Him or get Him and use Him for whatever we need Him at that time. But if you think of the Holy Spirit in a biblical way, that He is a person, He is God, He is glory, He is divine majesty. If we think of God in that way, then we will not be thinking, how can I get a hold of the Holy Spirit? We'll be thinking, how can I give the Holy Spirit more of me? How can the Holy Spirit get a hold of me and use me more? What is holding the Holy Spirit back in my life that He doesn't have all of me? We have all of the Holy Spirit. He came in at the day of our salvation, and we can't get more of Him. We have Him. But He can have more of us. There are areas in our lives throughout our Christian journey that we slowly give to God, give to God, and give to God. There'll be things we hold back. Those are the things we want to be able to finally just surrender all and say, Holy Spirit, just use me. Use all of me. I give myself to You. That is not leading to self-confidence. That's not leading to self-exaltation. That's leading to self-denial. That's leading to self-renunciation. It's leading to humiliation, humility. This should lead to the desire for the Holy Spirit to take possession entirely of our lives and to use it as He sees fit as God. The Holy Spirit is not a power. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. The Holy Spirit is a person, a divine person, and He can have us as much as we give Him. Thirdly, a reason to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person is from the standpoint of a transformed life. Do you want your life to be different from someone else, from the world? To fully surrender as an individual that believes the Holy Spirit is a power or an influence, to fully surrender to that power, to that image, to that force, it has no bearing on transforming our lives. But if we surrender to the third person of the Godhead, the one who indwells us, the one that indwells and gives us the ability and has the ability to shape us and mold us and make us in the image of our Savior, if we surrender fully to Him, our lives can be transformed. And that should be our goal. Not as a Christian, that should not be our goal as for our Christian life. That should be the goal of our Christian life every day. For it is a daily walk with God. Sometimes it's a moment by moment walk with God that you have to stop and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I give this to You, forgive me, I'm holding something back, and You've just helped me realize I'm holding this back, I give it to You. That's surrendering to the third person of the Godhead. If we were to do an exhaustive study of the Scriptures for proof that the Holy Spirit is a person and not a force, we would find overwhelmingly proof after proof after proof. Just looking at just a few, The first line of proof that I see from the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit is a person is that of the characteristics of us individually as a person. Would you not classify yourself as a person? We all would classify ourselves as a person. Well, there's three main areas that classify us as a person. There is knowledge, there is a will, and there are emotion or feelings. So as a person, we would have those three characteristics: a will, knowledge, and emotion or feelings. You know, the Scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit has those three things. Look over in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians and chapter number 2 and verse number 11, 1 Corinthians 2:11, the Word of God says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. The Spirit of God knoweth the things of God." He knows. He has knowledge. So that's one characteristic of a person. The Holy Spirit is a person who himself knows the things of God and reveals to us what he knows. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is talking about the ministry of the gifts that we are given as Christians. We'll talk about this in detail at another time, but I wanted to draw your attention to verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12:11. As the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts, look at verse 11. "But all these gifts worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." The Holy Spirit has a will. And as he will, he distributes these gifts. We cannot get a hold of the Holy Spirit for our personal gain, but we are to allow him to get a hold of us for God's gain. Look over in the book of Romans chapter 15. Just over a few pages. In Romans 15, look at verse 30. Five interesting words in this phrase. In this verse, five interesting words that we need to zero in on. In Romans 15, 30, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." A prayer, basically, of Paul. But notice five words in this verse: the love of the Spirit. The love of the Spirit. As we look and ponder these words, the love of the Spirit, these words teach us that the Holy Spirit is not some mere blinding force or power, but that he is a divine person that loves us. You know, we sing, "Jesus loves me." Well, here the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit loves us. He knows us intimately, does he not? And he still loves us. "For we owe the Holy Spirit," this might be a profound thought to you today, "but for we owe the Holy Spirit as much for our salvation as we do God the Father and God the Son." Amen. Let me show you why. Before time, in eternity, God the Father in his foreknowledge saw my fallen state. He saw my path of destruction, and he knew that I needed a Savior, and he sent his Son for me and for you. God the Son, in his willingness to obey the Father, said, "I'll go, Father." And he came to this wicked earth in obedience to his Father and laid down his own life on the cross for me and for you. A perfect substitutionary sacrifice. God, the Holy Spirit, through his love, sought me out. I didn't seek God out. He sought me out. Through the Holy Spirit, he sought me out through his love in my lost, sinful condition, and brought conviction to my heart, and brought me to the realization I needed a Savior and that Jesus was His name. The Trinity is involved in our salvation. Look over in the book of Ephesians and chapter 4. Thinking on these three, the knowledge, the will, the emotions of the Holy Spirit that are characteristics of a person. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse 30, a very familiar passage of Scripture here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is a person who loves us, a divine person who indwells us, a person who is so holy that it's become part of what we call the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. He is so holy and intensely sensitive to sin. A person, a divine person who recoils from sin and what we would call sin in its slightest form, if there is such a thing, the Holy Spirit recoils from that slightest sin. He is holy. He is God. He hears whatever we say. He sees whatever we do. He knows our very thoughts. If there is anything impure, if there's anything unholy, if there is anything immodest, if there is anything unloving, if there is anything untrue, if there is anything bitter or unchristlike in any way in your thoughts or my thoughts or our actions or our sayings, in word or thought or act, He is grieved beyond expression. We have grieved God. We know this verse is in the Scripture. But how true is it to our hearts? We are sinners saved by the grace of God. We are still sinners though. We still commit sins. And every time we think about it, or every time we act on it, we're grieving God. That should change us. That should change our lives to want to die to self, die to self, die to self. Holy Spirit, help me not to grieve You today. If we could get hold of just that one truth, my, our lives would be different for God. People would see a difference in our lives. Another line of proof from the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit is a person is in His many actions. They are attributed to the Holy Spirit only things that a person could do or perform, the Holy Spirit does. We'll run through some of these quickly. Look over in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Thinking on this subject that the Holy Spirit is a person and His characteristics, His attributes, His actions show us that He is a person, for He does the same attributes that a person does. In Acts 13 and verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, getting ready to choose the first missionaries here in the church of Antioch, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost spoke. The Holy Ghost said. How does the Holy Ghost speak? Through His Word. He doesn't speak audibly like we do today. He speaks through the Word of God. That still, small voice inside of you. You know, and I know when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, don't go that way. Don't do that thing. Don't ponder on that. We know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to us. The Holy Ghost said, how does He speak? He indwells us and speaks to our hearts from the Word of God, not a voice from heaven. Romans chapter 8, just looking at a few more of these for you. Romans 8 and verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. For sake of time, go to verse 14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creature groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. We keep reading, the Holy Spirit of God intercedes and prays. We not only have Jesus Christ at the right hand of God interceding for us, we have the Holy Spirit of God praying for us, interceding for us. We just don't get it sometimes, I don't think. We don't want to get it sometimes. We don't want to walk around knowing that we have God in us. For if we truly accept we have God in us, we couldn't do some things we do. We couldn't be some things that we are. We couldn't listen to or go or say or do or whatever. If we accepted that we have God in us, we can't be the same person that we are. John 15, verse 26 says that, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit of God is going to always testify of Jesus Christ. Why aren't we always testifying of Jesus Christ? Fear, self-denial, or self-exaltation. We have the testifier inside of us always wanting to testify of Jesus Christ. Go knock on that door, guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to be there to help us testify of Jesus Christ. Acts 16, he commands, he forbids. Remember Paul wanting to go over and the Holy Spirit forbade him from going over into Europe? He commands and he forbids. Acts 20, he oversees and he empowers people. In John 16, he guides. You know, there's that little careful of Disney. Let your conscience be your guide. My conscience is going to lead me to sin. Don't let your conscience be your guide. Let the Holy Spirit of God be your guide. I don't follow Jiminy Cricket, I follow Jesus Christ. John 14, 26, he teaches us. Let me show you one verse that I had never put this together this week, until this week, but look over in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9 does speak about the Holy Spirit. He is mentioned in the Old Testament. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. He instructed them. He instructs them. The Holy Spirit instructs us today, teaches us about how to go, how to live. To sum up this lesson, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a divine person. Theoretically, we probably all believe this, but practically, we don't live it. Do we regard the Holy Spirit as just as real a person as Jesus Christ? Just as loving, just as wise, just as tender, just as strong, just as faithful, just as worthy of our confidence, worship, love, surrender as Jesus is? You know, with thinking that thought, the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father when the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven as our comforter. He first came to the disciples. The Holy Spirit, as a person but as a spirit, came and indwelt the disciples. Why? To instruct them, to teach them, to guide them, to love them, to chastise them. Jesus was in that role with the disciples as their friend, as their guide, as their companion while He was on this earth. When He went back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came and took on that role as their friend, as their guide, as their instructor, as their companion. And He is that today as our guide, as our teacher, as our instructor, as our companion, as our friend. Is He that to you? Then not just believe with your head that the Holy Spirit is a person. Believe it with your heart, and your life will be different. You carry around with you God day after day after day. And He's not always there as judge. He's there as friend. He's there as companion. He's there as comforter. Let Him have all of you today. Heavenly Father, I pray that we have done Your will today. Take this simple lesson and expound it upon our hearts, that we might know not only that the Holy Spirit is a person, that He is God, but that we might live knowing that the Holy Spirit within us is God. Help it to transform our lives. First, in Jesus' precious name we pray and ask. Amen.